Welcome to Season 8, Episode 6 of Digital Learning Radio. I'm Laura, and I'm joined by my co-host, Catherine. For this season of our podcast, we are focusing on transcending the triage of our remote learning lives as we discuss where we are and where we're going to transform our pedagogy and practices. Today's episode focuses on a conversation about the third pillar in Gail Allen's book, The New Pillars of Modern Teaching, feedback.
Well, Laura, when you say conversation, we had a really difficult time narrowing our conversation about this because with all of the concerns with assessment and everything we've been hearing with this emergency remote teaching, we really had to stop and shuffle and try again, and we're going to focus solely on feedback. And so narrowing this conversation, we know there's a lot, but it's just going to be about feedback.
Yeah, it was really hard to figure out what we wanted to focus on. And ultimately, in the same way that I am refraining from reading the entire book as a podcast, we decided to not have, you know, like a 7-hour podcast. We have sometimes more time in our day, but I don't think anyone has time for that. So thinking about feedback and to get started, Gail identifies four elements that make up effective feedback. Those are that feedback is immediate, that it's specific, that it's frequent, and that it is actionable. And so thinking about that, and maybe you are listening to this podcast on the go. I know a lot of us have been trying to get more walking in since we're out and about less. And so a real life example of those elements of feedback might be a fitness tracker that you have on your body. So as you are walking or as you are trying to get some exercise, you get those little beeps and messages. That is immediate feedback. It's specific. It's telling you what you're doing and what you've accomplished. It's frequent, and then it's actionable if you have a goal to set, you know, exactly where you are and how far away you are from meeting that goal.
Well, I know a lot of our friends have been posting their walks as in the afternoons and using those fitness trackers to show and document all of their work and giving that feedback. So I think the fitness tracker is a very applicable example for this emergency remote time. And so let's really think about what feedback has and hasn't looked like as we've been in this state of triage and emergency remote teaching and learning. So the first thing I'm thinking about is when we started the whole webinar experience, I had no idea that that face-to-face communication was so important for nonverbal feedback. Right now, Laura and I are on Zoom. I see her nodding her head. and so if you're in a Zoom meeting with 150 people and half of them or three-fourths have their screens off, you get no nonverbal cues. And so I have really missed that in this state of emergency remote teaching.
Yeah. And I think to make up for it, I over emote on any Zoom call that I'm on in a distracting way and a way that makes me tired. And so even on this podcast, I am nodding heavily because I feel the same. I didn't realize how much I scanned the faces of the people I'm speaking to, and especially in a training perspective, to get those little cues and feedback pieces. It's hard over video, and it's even harder when there isn't a video aspect. So can fully relate to that.
Well, and so thinking about just my previous life as a teacher in the hallway, those hallway conversations mm-hmm. are so important in the classroom. It's like, oh my gosh, this did not work well, help. And you would say this in the passing period and your brilliant colleague would say, oh, just ask it this way or tweak it this way, and then you could fix it for the next class period. And so missing those opportunities when you're isolated at home. And so that's been another thing that I'm sure a lot of us have missed.
You mean your cat is not giving you good and actionable feedback?
Me not.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate. I know exactly what you mean and definitely feel that, yep, it is me in my apartment doing the best that I can, and also kind of took that for granted. Didn't realize those hallway conversations were as helpful as they were. When I think about it, though, I think about just the whole shift in communication when we were abruptly shifted to emergency remote life. We kind of recalibrated totally, and the springtime is typically a focus on assessment that really drives a lot of what our spring teaching looks like. And that feedback of how our students are doing with targeted TEKS or how they're doing on a benchmark, that really informs teaching practice. That went out the window almost immediately. You and I were remembering we were in the office at Region 10. We had come back from spring break and got that message mid-morning that the state assessments had been canceled for this year. And we all just kind of paused for a moment and went, huh. Okay, now what? How do we recalibrate? And so we have totally shifted that focus, and now the main source of communication and redirecting teaching is really coming back from those feedback pieces on the assignments that are posted, the assignments that are given back, and these synchronous kind of Zoom calls to have this communication. That has been extreme.
Well, Laura, I was just looking back at my calendar. That was March 16th when they had that
Whoo.
announcement. And I remember it was like the craziest feeling of change because it was such a frantic day. And then it was like, okay, everyone was planning things. How do we get all this TEKS information out? And then it was this complete loss. What do we do when we don't have that assessment looming overhead? So.
Well, and another piece of that is, I always mention my high school secondary brain, but grades are such a huge extrinsic motivator. And a lot of that is tied to assessment. And so when we kind of dropped the assessment and refocused, or I know a lot of schools dropped grades, that has really forced us to leverage that feedback piece for motivation and has really been something that I think the word triage accurately depicts, just trying to figure out the best way to reach and engage our students and continue to teach, knowing that everything has been kind of thrown out the window and turned on its head.
Well, I want to think about some examples that have worked with feedback for a second. And one of our earliest webinars, and we still don't know what we're doing exactly with this, but one of the very first webinars, I was so lucky because a colleague was able to participate with me, and she said, Catherine, there are comments in the chat and asking you to slow down. And that was such great feedback in the moment because it was immediate. It was very specific. I could take action. I could start speaking more slowly right away. And apparently, it was frequent enough in the chat so that she had the skills to politely interrupt me and say, slow down. And so at least the technology, and even if I did not get those nonverbal cues, I could still hear that and still could get feedback in that way. But that doesn't happen for everyone.
Well, as you're talking about that, I'm just thinking about the different skill sets that we've kind of flexed and developed. I think a lot of us as former classroom teachers just kind of have that skill of that multitask where you can scan a room, see who's with you, see that, oh yeah, I need to slow down or my pacing is okay. And it really is completely different when we're thinking about a virtual environment and we've had to figure out instead of maybe scanning faces, we're scanning the chat while we're delivering information, and it's weird because it's similar and different. I think we're all just really hungry for that feedback to let us know how we're doing and shift accordingly and appropriately. I'm also thinking about how feedback has been different and we've had to figure it out in different learning environments. So you were just describing a synchronous experience and, these Zoom calls and over emoting or not emoting at all. synchronous, all of us together. It's entirely different with an asynchronous setup. So maybe I'm not seeing my students or not having a webinar, but I'm still putting out content. How do I give that good feedback without maybe the grade piece so that students are engaged and motivated and I can give them those actionable steps to move forward? That's been a different piece and a big adjustment as well.
Well, even when you're thinking asynchronous, you could think about what is the user's experience and am I providing something that is not clear with the instructions or too many clicks to get somewhere or something that I'm leaving out of the details. Do I get that feedback or not as an instructor? So
we can all relate to too many clicks, I think.
Oh, unfortunately. So we've identified some gaps during triage and emergency remote learning. So how can we now work to fill in those gaps? So thinking about the fall, whatever that may look like, what can we do to transform our classrooms and learning from here?
So I am thinking, you know, you mentioned the date, March 16th, which feels like a different life. You know, that was a while ago. That was a minute ago. And so we've kind of had cyclical times of triage where we try something, it doesn't work, we got to recalibrate, figure it out again. And something that I keep landing on is thinking about those types of assignments that we are throwing out there. And so when we're thinking about transforming practice and what things could look like in the fall, regardless of our setup, I think that when we don't have as much face-to-face time, that busy work doesn't transfer. And so if we were spending time trying to, you know, transfer a PDF document into maybe like a Google form or fill this out, you know, that's difficult to do, thinking about too many clicks for sometimes, and also difficult to have that good motivation to get that done. And so when I think about the types of assignments that we are putting out there, a lot of it has lended itself to students explaining their thinking, kind of going back to some of our previous conversation about designing for agency or having students have a curated list of resources to help them out. And so these types of assignments, I think, really lend themselves to giving those four elements of feedback for students, kind of creating that conversation and loop instead of a one and done assignment that I turn in.
Okay, so so much, and I think this is where we got caught up in our other conversation, is the difference between the assessments before and then the assessments after COVID-19 and what those kinds of things will look like. But yeah, how can we create these rich, authentic tasks and assignments that will lend themselves to that feedback? So maybe that will be what we dig into in our next episode, Laura.
Love it.
So in addition to what I'm providing students, the assignments, I'm also thinking about how am I going to get feedback on my own practice? And I know that it was so nice to have Nancy in my webinar and be able to give me that feedback immediately and that specific feedback where I could change the speed of my voice.
Yeah, we were really lucky to kind of restructure our time and design and trying to cater to a large group of participants in webinars to kind of establish this practice that we had a buddy, a co-presenter. And I know that not everybody has that luxury, but I know getting that feedback from another human that is not a cat was something that so many of us were just craving and looking for. And so that ability to have a colleague to pop in maybe as a bouncer or to be reading that chat to talk to you, but also to be, again, another adult, another human in your classroom to give you that feedback. I know we relied really heavily on a debrief after Zoom calls, after participants left, like just having this conversation. Okay, what went well? What didn't go well? Where were people cool? Where were people, you know, struggling? What do we need to do to shift? And so I know having that ability and again, like weird fluid time right now to be part of so many webinars. I have learned so much just about remote teaching and what's working, and we're all figuring it out together. And so I mean, every single time I pop into somebody else's webinar, I pick up a little tool or a tidbit that kind of reminds me of being a classroom teacher. If you have the ability to go and pop in and observe part of a colleague's classroom, you're like, oh yeah, that is a good thing. I will steal that. And so I think in addition to that feedback about how the design went, I think it was a bonus just to learn so many things from my colleagues. And I think that we are a stronger team because of it.
Well, that was one of my favorite jobs as an instructional specialist, was being able to observe so many classrooms. And in these last 2 months, I have never attended so many webinars in my entire life. And when I was attending a colleague's webinar, I always had the question, what feedback? Catherine, give me some feedback about this. And knowing Gail's framework, I could tell some, here's something very specific, here's something very actionable. It was definitely not a good job thing, but it was a great opportunity for me to take something away, like you said, learn something cool from someone else, but then also practice that feedback. And that's something I definitely want to continue in August or whatever the fall looks like.
Yeah, thinking about how we could transform what the fall looks like, is there an aspect of this that you think that we can take back to our campuses?
I was lucky enough to attend this Ed Camp EdTech this past weekend. And there was a teacher from I don't know where, and she said that her entire math team decided to deliver content and share work together to all of their students. And I don't know if it was a team of 18 math teachers or a team of five, but the brilliant thing and the thing that I would like to admire and acquire is that all of the teachers were in there at once, so they could provide feedback to one another, or they could, like you said, monitor the chat and say, "Ooh, the students are having a lot of trouble with this example." But then the really cool thing is they were utilizing Zoom breakout rooms, so they were able to then kind of pull small groups. And so the students who needed accommodations went with teacher A, and the students who already got it went to teacher B, or they left the meeting and they could work on their own. And so that is completely redesigning classes and the structure. If you have your entire Algebra 1 team that's on call for that one teach piece and then you disperse. I mean, what so many opportunities for feedback right there in the moment that would be immediate, specific, and actionable, right there in a remote setting.
That makes me so excited to hear that. I mean, that when we think about transformation, that is transformative. That's using this time fluidity, this student agency, the medium, and really getting that authentic feedback to really inform teaching. Man, that is cool. And again, that is transformation. It makes me think of a quote from Gail's book, talking about feedback, in which she says, "Feedback embedded in powerful learning becomes a form of instruction." And so, listening to you describe that team of math teachers really working together and having that immediate, specific, actionable feedback, that is a form of instruction and drives their instruction. And man, really makes me excited.
That is transformative. I agree. And I think that you've picked out a perfect quote again. And that makes me think of my own personal experience. I'm celebrating year 30 in education, and I cannot remember how long it's been since I am craving feedback. I have now, because this is so new for us all, I want feedback on my webinars. I want feedback on my slides. I want feedback on my containers, on the activities. Is this appropriate? And I'm looking for these specific actionable things. I don't want to hear that was a good job, but I want to hear something a lot more specific for that.
Oh yeah, I think I can completely relate to that, and I think part of it is because this is so weird and so foreign, and just knowing that everyone is at home and in this emergency remote situation, we all need that feedback right now because, again, our cats do not give us good feedback to know, am I doing the thing? Am I doing okay? And so I know my experience is very similar. I have been reaching out to team members that I rarely see in the office because everyone's busy and working on their own things or out presenting. And so, kind of just recalibrating and checking in for that feedback as we are learning best practices and shaping best practices. It's been a really cool and I would say transformative thing to be able to collaborate and seek out that specific feedback. I agree on everything that I'm building and producing in a way that I really didn't, or really didn't seek out, before the COVID-19 time. So can relate.
Well, and I think that because we don't know what's happening in the fall, we're looking at both synchronous types of learning experiences and asynchronous things. And I've had, three emails today, like, let's see a good Google Classroom. Can you give me feedback on my Google Classroom? And even those things that are being shared with participants or shared with students, getting that kind of feedback is so important. So.
True. And while we're on the subject, Catherine, do you have time after this podcast to look at some slides I'm building? I would love some specific feedback.
Same, Laura. I want feedback on a session. So, yes. Well, we both have experience in instructional and digital coaching. And so I think those roles are going to be in demand like we've never seen before because we are craving this feedback. And I think that that's really a transformative mindset that we're going to have because, like I said, I was kind of like, I do want feedback. I want to grow. I want to continue learning. But now I'm like, I'm craving feedback. Please look at my stuff. So.
Well, and you mentioned just looking for more than a good job. That's the worst feedback. That doesn't give me anything to say, hey, great job. And so I think remembering in rereading Gail's book and remembering to focus that feedback that both that I'm giving, but also that I'm asking, when I have you look at my slides, that will be immediate because I will trap you on this Zoom call. But also there are some specific things that I want your thoughts on. I love the frequency that we're all, again, kind of working together and collaborating, and it to be specifically actionable as well. And so I really think that these elements are empowering so that I get more than a good job. And I'm definitely giving more than a good job when people ask to be a thought partner and seek out that specific feedback. This also makes me think of another quote from Gail because, again, I'm subtly reading the whole book out loud. But Gail is actually quoting the work of Hattie when she says, "The right kind of feedback is incredibly empowering. It enables the individual to move forward, to plot, plan, adjust, rethink, and thus exercise self-regulation in realistic and balanced ways." When I hear that, it's a tall order, but this is what I want, and this is what I want for students to exercise self-regulation in a realistic and balanced way. I mean, come on. This is where I want the feedback that I give and that I get to go.
Well, what a perfect quote to end this episode. And thinking about, I love that it is an incredibly empowering phrase. And thinking about right now when we really are still in this emergency mindset, and as Laura and I are planning our professional development for the summer, any kind of feedback we can get is very empowering, and that's what we're looking for. So, yeah. Let's work on transforming our own practices in the future and let feedback help. All
For sure, for sure.
right, thanks for spending time with us today. Remember to take care of yourselves, take care of your families, take care of your students, and know that we will transcend this time of triage and emerge transformed. If you want to continue the conversations or if you have additional questions or feedback, find us on Twitter at DigLearnRadio.